Stephen. Psalm 16, a mid-term of David. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another God shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Thank you, Brian and Steve. Hi, welcome everyone. My name is Kwaisen. As Brian said, I work at Saracen and Partners. My office is next to the St. Paul Cathedrals. I have been a regular at the Sister Talk, the Aldersgate, for about 4.5 years. If today is your first time joining us, so very warm welcome. My handout for today's talk is in the Zoom chat, and it contains the passage and the outline of the talk. You can get the handout from there. I hope it's not an understatement to say COVID-19 has absolutely changed everything. COVID-19 is definitely one of the defining moments in this generation so far. And I will let historians decide whether COVID-19 is the worst crisis humanity has faced since World War II. But we can see why some would draw a comparison to World War II. Prime Minister Boris Johnson said, "We must act like any wartime government." And the Secretary General of the United Nations warned that the coronavirus outbreak is the biggest challenge for the world since World War II. For people who are born after World War II like me, this is pretty big and serious, especially since I had survived the first SARS in Hong Kong 17 years ago. The scale and the impact of the first SARS is nothing like COVID-19. For a lot of us, life would probably never be the same again. If you have loved ones who have passed away because of COVID-19, I'm very sorry for your loss, and I would like to offer you my condolences. You might have lost your job or your business and wonder how you could get through this crisis. You might be really struggling with lockdown on your own and are suffering from isolation and depression. Human relationships are severely tested by COVID-19. Humans are social animals. We care for each other. We stay close for each other. In greetings, we hug, we kiss, we shake hands. Social distancing totally changed that, as if it is asking us not to be human. It was reported that in China and America, there was an increase in divorce rate since COVID-19, possibly because couples are spending too much time together. In times like these, you might wonder, what is life about? and how can I pull through this? Today, we are looking at a psalm written by David. And in this psalm, we can actually find a very compelling answer here to this question about life. Now, who's David? David was born around 1,000 years BC, and he was the second king of ancient Israel. Under King David, Israel had won many battles against its enemies. In this psalm, King David told us what life is about and how we can live a life to the full. Let's look at the passage together. And that's the first point in my handout. Single-minded focus on God alone. In verse 1, King David said, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge." Now, we are not told what kind of danger or enemies David is facing. But we know that David is in trouble and he's asking for help. Now, what happened to David at the end? Let's jump to verse 8 quickly and let me read. "I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure." King David is comforted at the end. So what made him feel comforted and secure? The answer is in verse 1 to 8. And let's dive in. Back to verse 1, when King David looked for assistance, he doesn't rely on himself or his leadership. He doesn't ask his advisors either. Is it quite surprising to hear? In our modern societies, presidents and prime minister, they seek counsel from their cabinet. In companies, the chief executive get advice and strategic direction from the board. If any leaders of a country or of a company does not seek advice from his peers in today's modern society, it is outrageous. But for David, it isn't his peers whom he thinks can help him. It is God. Now let's look at verse 2. "I say to the Lord, you are my Lord, I have no good apart from you." The Lord with all capital letters means Yahweh, the God of Israel. The Lord with small letters means Master. King David does not treat God just like a help desk. Where were the cases? Thank God you're done. Instead, God says totally on an everyday basis. So why does King David only goes to God? Verse 3 and 4. "As for the things in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another God shall multiply. The drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, or take their names on my lips." In King David's eyes, there are no other gods. David finds pressures and encouragement in fellow believers. He sees no point following other gods. Whatever it is we worship in our life, be it money, power, or career, David believes these will only wound our lives, bringing us pain that will only get worse and worse. So what does it look like to have God as David's master? Verse 5 and 8, "The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. In the night, also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken." David is the king of Israel, and he does not lack anything. As a king, he possessed wealth, power, and people. David lives in a great palace, and he has so many people to serve him. His words are the law of the country. He doesn't even need to seek approval from anyone. He doesn't need to make any compromise. It would not be exaggerating to say that David is free to do whatever he wants. Yet, he does not value these earthly things. He sees God as the only thing he has. In verse 5 and 6, God is David's chosen portion and his inheritance. In verse 7, David sees God as the only source of all wisdom. God is his counselor. David only listens to God. In verse 8, David always put God first in his life. Now, how does David feel when he put God first in his life? And that's the second point in my handout. Because he is the only source of security and joy. Verse 9 to 11. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, precious forevermore. Feels great, he's stressed. He was facing a whole focus on God, and a total reliance on God makes David feel joyful and secure. David thinks God is great and he's wonderful. David thinks God is worth putting all your trust in him. Let's think about us, and that's the third point in my handout. By putting our trust in Jesus, we will be with this wonderful God forever. How do you feel about King David's advice on your life? David said, forget about every earthly things you have, put your trust in God, and you will feel joy and security. You may think, well, I tried and it didn't work, and I still feel troubled, so I'd rather look for something else. Or you might think, well, I don't believe that God exists. David can have his own view of his own life, and I can have my own view of my own life. After all, David was born 3,000 years ago, and why does his view matter in 21st century today? There are so many other people in history, you know, apart from King David, who can tell you what life is about. For example, Socrates, Aristotle, and Confucius. Why should I listen to David? To answer this question, let's look at verse 10, where David spoke about some sort of resurrection. Verse 10, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. The word Sheol means the underworld for the dead. The word corruption is referring to the bodily decay after your death. David seems to say God would not leave him dead forever, and God will bring him alive again. But we know that David did die and his body did decay. In this psalm, it looks like David might not be talking about himself. So what's going on here? Thankfully, we can find the answer in the New Testament. Psalm 16 was quoted in Acts chapter 2 and chapter 13, where the apostles Peter and Paul, they were giving one of the first sermons on Psalm 16. Both Peter and Paul said David was prophesying Jesus' resurrection here in Psalm 16. In Acts chapter 2, Peter said, God had promised the resurrection of Jesus through David. And Jesus is the Son of God, where we can seek forgiveness of our sins and get God's promise of eternal life. In Acts chapter 13, again, Paul spoke about how God has fulfilled his promise of eternal life through Jesus' resurrection, which is prophesied by David in this psalm. Before we consider the relevancy of this psalm to us today, there's one more idea I would like to explore, which is death. Before COVID-19, I guess most of us didn't think much about death, the inevitable consequences for every human. Death sometimes seems so far away. Life expectancy in the UK has increased from around 70 years in 1950s to nearly 80 years today, thanks to improvements in nutrition, hygiene, medicine, and healthcare. We have not even reached retirement, let alone thinking about death. And yet death should be front and center in our mind every day because of the impact it brings to our life. This is what the Bible talks about death and life, which you can find it in the book of Ecclesiastes. Death makes life meaningless because we cannot take any single thing with us when we die. Whatever we earn in this life, we will be passing them to our children or someone else who didn't work for it. A wise man will die just like a foolish man, and no one will remember you after you die. God sees that death is humanity's biggest problem, not COVID-19. So back to the question of why this psalm is relevant to you and me today. Thinking that David has raised the idea of resurrection in this psalm, both Peter and Paul refer to Jesus' resurrection, and death is humanity's biggest problem. Through Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection, death is now conquered. Eternal life, pressure forevermore, in verse 11 in this psalm, is now possible. For Christians, this is the most wonderful thing. David puts up, help us see who God is and why we should rely on him alone. God is the one David will run to when he faced danger. Although David is a king and he has all the possible earthly things he can have, wealth, power, and people, yet he only chooses God. David only listens to God. Is David wrong to put his trust in God? No. God gives David counsel. God gives David gladness and joy. Or if you choose anything other than God, it will only wound your life. As Christians, do we see that God is this great? When our life is good, perhaps we have a good job, we have a great family, a healthy body. You will remember that these good things are from God. Do we start relying on ourselves, thinking that these good things must be my own achievements? Do we focus on God single-mindedly, like David in verse 1 to 8? Do we run away from other idols? Are we convinced that these idols will just destroy us? Do we see God's words as the only source of wisdom? Equally, when we don't think our lives are going well, when we face challenges and hurdles, for example, you might have lost your jobs or your loved one to get better again. When we face danger, whom do we cry to for help? Do we remember we have such a wonderful God who will give us security, gladness, and joy. I hope this psalm currently facing in your life at the moment, but most importantly, God has prepared a wonderful eternal life for Christians, a life that is precious forevermore, as described in verse 11. God in this psalm promised the resurrection of Jesus through David, and Jesus did die and resurrect. Christians can now fully put their trust in Christ, knowing that because of Jesus, we can have this wonderful God forever. If you're not a Christian, perhaps you're looking for meaning in your life at the moment, or perhaps you have never thought about life in this way. I hope the psalm today helps you answer or consider these big questions in life, or at least show you what Jesus offers. David said, everything other than God is just sorrow that will multiply. You might disagree. You simply look around, and it's not difficult to see humanity's great progress. Technology has advanced our lives. Our children are now receiving education, and we haven't had a world war for 70 years. Yet, I hope you can see how fragile these achievements actually are. Just think about COVID-19 at the moment. This recession is already much worse than the great financial crisis in 2009. Just before COVID-19 hit us in March, US unemployment rate was at 50 years low. And now we're at all-time high. 50 years of progress in the labor market, all gone in a month, which will have devastating and far-reaching consequences for families involved. Lots of happy families were torn apart by COVID-19. Also remember I mentioned earlier, everyone will die. Death means it doesn't matter if you die as a billionaire or as a beggar, you will carry nothing after you die. As a general rule, when you want to learn something, you will find a coach who has actually done that something. You want to learn driving, find someone who has actually driven a car to teach you. You won't find me who doesn't know how to drive to teach you. The blind leading the blind is not only hopeless, but also dangerous. Likewise, when you want to know about your life, whether there's a life after death, it's better to ask someone who has actually been through life and death, and that's the Lord Jesus. Would you entrust the most important thing in your life, which is the life itself, into the hands of the amateurs other than Jesus? Let's pray as we close. Father, we pray that you will help us see you like how David sees you, and that you are great and we can take refuge in you. Thank you for Jesus' death and resurrection, that it is now possible to have an eternal relationship with you. Thank you for the gladness, joy, and security that you promised to give to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Kwai-san, thank you very much. Lots of food for thought there. Thank you everybody else for joining us. Please feel free to leave this meeting now if you'd like to, if you need to for any reason, but we are now open for questions. And if you'd like to ask about Kwai-san's sermon or about the passage about this Psalm 16, please do so. And you're welcome to unmute and to turn on your video. Just to remind you that this meeting is being live streamed on YouTube. But please do ask questions either by unmuting yourself or by typing into the chat box. And if you'd rather ask privately, you're very welcome to send a private message to Kwai-san or to me, better to Kwai-san really, and then we'll be sure to keep an eye on it on the chat box and try and make sure we answer everybody's questions. So thank you once again. Any questions for Kwai-san? I liked your last comment, Khwaisan. I should have apologized, actually, that we had the internet connection was not perfect, but I hope you'll all bear with us for that. I mean, that's what happens, isn't it? But I liked your last comment. Would you entrust the most important thing in your life to an amateur? I don't think I do.
Hi, Khwaisan, it's Ian here. Thank you for pointing out those two references to Psalm 16 in Acts. That's really, really helpful. Thank you. Very interesting that the very first sermon after the giving of the Holy Spirit, Peter used that reference to Psalm 16, quite a long reference from chapter 2, verse 25 through to 28, of the fact that Jesus did not see corruption and trusted in the Lord, and he is therefore the one who fulfills this prophetic psalm, which is amazing. How should we, in our evangelism, as we speak to people about Jesus and about putting their faith and trust in Jesus, can you think of good ways of bringing that in? Because it's, you know, it might be easy for us to crack open Psalm 16 and say, look at this. Can you think of any effective ways that we can use the way that Peter did this in front of his fellow Israelites?
Yeah, no, thank you. So let me say something first and afterwards. So I guess, you know, when I think about this psalm, when I think about what Peter and Paul said, so David really loved God because of how great he is and because of all the wonderful things that God has done, which is, you know, in this psalm, God gives gladness, joy, security, you know, even a king of a country can't find anything in his country and he has to go to God because these are the only thing that he can get from God, which is quite relevant to us today, you know. Someone, when they look at this psalm, will say, look, you know, if I work hard and I have 10 million in my bank account, well, I have security because I can hire security guard outside my house. I have gladness and joy because I can do whatever I want with all the money that I have. But I guess what we see in this psalm is the main difference is, yes, but you still have to face death, and death will make your 10 million, 100 million, 1,000 million, or 1 billion, 10 billion, whatsoever, irrelevant. And to have a fullness of joy and to have precious forevermore, the only source that you can go to is God. And I guess, you know, then the next question is, well, how do we get this? It's good that David can get this, but, you know, but David is David, me and me, how do I get this? And I guess, you know, Peter and Paul and actually help us to see that, look, you know, by following and put your trust in Jesus, that's the link that you can get what God promised here, because God is the one who died and resurrected Jesus is the one who died and resurrected, and through Jesus, that's how you get it. And I guess, you know, if we follow on the what Paul and Peter said, and then obviously the listener were like, oh, okay, good. I can see that you said Jesus is died and resurrected, but how do we still get it? And then Peter said, look, repent and baptize in Jesus' name. Turn away from your sin, and that's how you will get what David is getting in this psalm. So, sorry, a very long way to answer your question.
That's helpful. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ian. And thank you, Khwaisan, for the answer. Anybody else like to ask anything?
Hi, Khwaisan, Will here. Sorry I didn't speak up earlier. I was listening from the car, so I couldn't I couldn't say hello, but thank you so much. I just wondered what your thoughts were. Could you share what you make of verse 3, where David refers to the saints in the land? As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. I guess that's referring to fellow believers.
Yes. So I think this is referring to, I guess you're right. I think this is referring to fellow believers. So David found joy spending time and fellowship with fellow believers. Yes. And when I think about these words, it's actually quite helpful to think about us as well. You know, when we spend time with people around us, you know, do we actually see this is true? You know, when we spend time with our fellow brothers and sisters, when we're doing Bible study together, do we actually find delight when we spend time with them? So I think it's fellow believers, and I think personally I found this was quite encouraging.
That is really encouraging. Thanks.
Yeah.